Right. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Jason, the Ass Master. Let's try and bring Bill in. We got an exciting show today. Bill does not appear to be on Skype. Oh my god. We got a little exciting show today. We have a special guest for you tonight. You all know him as Quasar. James Haley, not the leader, but one of the main programmers of the Eternity Engine. He's going to be joining us later tonight. We'll have a great interview with him. Very excited to have him on the show. We'll also take some calls a little later on. But, where is... There he is. Let's see if we can get my co-host on the line, Bill Cook. I'm ringing him up. Well, while he waits to join us... Here we are, Bill! Bill, can you hear me? I can't hear you. Alright, we'll let him get set up. We're going to start with our top stories tonight. I've actually got... I'm going to compress this instead of it's a single story. Let's compress this into topics. First topic is court cases having to do with video games. The first item on the list concerning this is Second Life. There's a Second Life case going to court. I wish I had turned off my IRC sounds. Hold on, I think... Here we are. Let's see, a case has been brought to court concerning a member of Second Life who was, quote-unquote, banned for... Let's see here. He was banned originally for using an exploit to gain an item from a user. I'm not perfectly familiar with Second Life, so I don't know how it works. But apparently he used some kind of an exploit in the game to gain an item from another user and was, of course, subsequently banned from the game since that would be considered sort of hacking or otherwise modifying. He has since then brought up a court case claiming that he lost... He had financial damages as the result of being banned. He is suing the Second Life administration, which is, Linden Labs, for $8,000. That's not the only type of case that we've got coming from perceived damages in a video game related to real life. The second court case we have coming up is World of Warcraft. One of its members is bringing a case against a large Chinese gold farming company called IGE, claiming that they are polluting his enjoyment of the game. For people who don't know what gold farming is, what happens is a company pays a group of people, usually a very large group of people, to go into MMORPGs and reap certain resources which could be valuable in exchange for real-world dollars to people who play these games. In the World of Warcraft game, for example, gold farmers in particular do exactly what it sounds like, which is they amass huge amounts of gold. And then they sell it to other members for X amount of dollars. The side effect to this is that it has an impact on the game's internal economy. So, Antonio Hernandez is bringing a suit against such a company, claiming that he has had his experience ruined by these types of players. Whether or not, like, this kind... I don't expect this particular case, for example, this gold farming case, to pan out anywhere. The more interesting one is the Second Life case, with somebody claiming actual damages for things that they paid for in the game that they no longer have access to anymore, totaling $8,000, according to this person. And the reason this stuff is interesting is that as these sort of video games become intertwined with real life, and as virtual property gets traded, it looks like there's going to have to be some legislation. We're seeing the beginnings of it now about how imaginary property in these games can literally be sort of restricted and monitored and controlled by government entities. The second batch of stories that we have tonight has to do with layoffs. Sony Computer Entertainment of America recently laid off 80 to 100 employees in an attempt to, quote-unquote, restructure for some kind of future plans. This is not much of a surprise considering that they recently claimed $1 billion losses due specifically to the PlayStation 3. Now, what's weird is that this happens around the same time as a huge Nintendo of America exodus. Nintendo of America recently lost 90% of its sales and marketing staff due to its attempt to relocate people to California and New York for its new offices. So far, Nintendo has declined to comment on what they intend to do about this. It's kind of surprising. I was not surprised to hear that a few people would have left based on like the need to massively relocate to an entire new state. But 90% is quite a large amount of people. No kidding. And of course, who can do without their marketing department? Bill, do I have you on the line yet?
I think so.
All right, great. You're coming in fine. I hope people can hear me as well. All right, now that we've got our two top stories set up, actually, is there anything you want to comment? I know you've got something to say about somebody suing for losing property in Second Life.
If they would read the user agreement that they agreed to when they signed up, they would probably see something about losing all their assets if they're banned or something like that. Yeah. And they agreed to that.
See, that is a little bit tricky because, like, can an end-user license agreement really stand up in court like that? I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Something messed up.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up there.
I think.
Okay. We're going to move on to our first pair of songs, and when we get back, we will have James Quasar Haley on the line. We'll talk to him about some Eternity stuff, some of his other upcoming projects, and we'll take a few calls. So stick around. This is, of course, Unidoom Radio. Thank you. we are back. Played a little Silent Hill there, a little, I'm not even going to, Yasunori Mitsuda, which was from Chrono Trigger. He actually remixed some of his own music in that jazz style. Very cool album. It's called A Brink of Time, if you can ever get your hands on it. It's an entire sort of jazz collection of Chrono Trigger remakes. Very cool album. All right, now we're going to get back. We're going to try and get Quasar on the line. I always have such a hard time conference calling with these people. I hope I don't kick Bill off. Bill, you still there?
I think so.
Let's see if we can do this without kicking you off.
No, you just add him to the conference or something like that.
Oh, add callers. What do you know? That rocks. Thank you.
I've never even done it before.
Well, you're freaking brilliant. See, James. Quasar. Okay. James, can you
hello?
Hear me? Hi. Right? I'd like to introduce James Quasar Haley. He's, of course, the face of the Eternity Engine, I guess you could say, programmer for EE. We're very glad to have him here today. I'm very excited. I'm going to jump on a topic immediately because I know it's something that's been sort of ongoing, and you're probably going to cringe when I mention it, but we have the whole Raven situation. They haven't responded to the emails. They haven't responded to the petition. They recently sent out a handwritten letter via snail mail in an attempt to get the Heretic and Hexen source code GPL'd, and they haven't responded to that either, so do you have a next step? And if so, what is that?
Well, Mank has been talking about going there and... Okay, I'm hearing myself.
Oh, that tends
is that supposed to happen?
It happens to some people occasionally. There's no distortion on my end, so I don't think it'll be a problem for the majority of the listeners. Some people just have to... Some callers just kind of have to put up with that.
Oh. Okay, Mank has been talking about going there in person and making an appointment to talk to somebody, but we don't know if it's going to happen to him.
Hmm. Well, just to give you a little food for thought, I'll give you a story that I read recently here about a group of Spaniard gamers who, due to their dissatisfaction with Sony, sent Sony of Europe a box filled with 45 plastic turds, each with a complaint note attached to it. Now, hey, I mean, like, it got their attention. This got a story on Kotaku, for example. So, you know, sometimes you have to be a little sensationalistic. So maybe you should send a box of plastic, not real, please, turds to Raven with one for each petitioner, for example. We'll leave that on the table for now. Let's move on to one of the latest things you're working on. You're working on Death EE. This is a working title that I have right now. It's Doom Editor for Total Head Cases for the Eternity Engine. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Basically, it'll just be Death, but with the capability to edit Eternity-specific features. And mainly, like you mentioned last time, it'll have extra data support.
All right. One of the things, I know this has been a stumbling block for some of us who have tried to edit for the Eternity Engine, is that despite the enormous amount of features that it makes available, is that currently no editor fully supports some of the things it can do. I always have a little bit of trouble wrapping my head around extra data. Let me see if I have this right, and you can correct me, and maybe we can get more people to know about this. As I understand it, extra data allows one to sort of create new line depth specials. I don't know if I'm really phrasing that correctly. Why don't you sort of educate me on that?
Well, that's not precisely true. What it does is it lets Doom Format Map have everything and more that was at
that was from Hexen.
Yeah.
And these can be sort of, what is the creation process like? How does, I'll ask it to you this way, and we'll link this back to Death EE. Let's say I'm the end user, I have opened up Death EE, and I would like to use the extra data feature. Like, could you give us sort of a visual walkthrough of how that works so people can get an idea of what the kind of things they'll really be able to do.
Well, it should work in the same manner as how you can add boot features currently. Like, when you're setting the special on the line depth, and it gives you a dialogue of flags. Well, instead, you'll have the Eternity Engine dialogue, and you'll be able to there set all the new builds on everything.
Right, so this system will then never be restricted to some sort of, like, predetermined within the editor flags, for example, or this static list of things that has to constantly be updated by the editor programmer, for example.
Well, it will.
Oh.
But this should be pretty stable. I'll update it as much as is necessary.
Have you begun? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but have you begun, like, work on it yet? Do you have any sort of a progress report on that?
Only the most basic stuff.
I mean, do you have a... Well, then my next question would, of course, be, do you think you have a time for a public release? Do you have some kind of a date set for that in the future?
It's going to be quite a while.
Okay. Going to move on to the Eternity Engine itself. I understand there has been kind of a little bit of a while since we had a last release. Why don't you tell me about some of the new things that we can expect to see that you have personally worked on, because I kind of ruined the surprise, but we'll be talking to Strogon Meth in a little bit. But why don't you tell me some of the things that you personally have, like, sort of added to EE that we can expect to see in the next release?
Well, the biggest stuff that I'm working on right now is the dynamic weapon system.
Mm-hmm.
The inventory, which, of course, Heretic and Heck need. And then there will be also new dynamic pickup items.
Now, I'm curious. Let's say I'm editing for Doom, and I want to use, say, the inventory. Is that going to require... Well, like, first of all, would that require me to use the Hexen map format, for example?
And no.
No, it wouldn't. Okay, that's actually really interesting. So things are interchangeable without having to stick to Hexen specifically.
Yes.
Oh, that's actually very cool. Let's see. I'm going to see if we can get SOM on the line. I understand that this will be the first time you're ever speaking to him in person, so this will be kind of interesting.
I think in person is a bit of a stretch.
Well, okay. There's like a difference when you really hear somebody's voice, you know what I mean?
Sure.
For you, for example, my opinion is you change completely.
okay.
I won't elaborate on that. Let's see if we can get Steve on the line. Steve McGranahan, also known as SOM, Strogon Meth. Giving him a call now. Steve! See, he's picked up. I'm having some, Hi, SOM, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, okay, great. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve McGranahan, Steve McGranahan, SOM, Strogon Meth. You're on the line with James Quasar Haley and Bill Bloodshedder Cook, and of course myself. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right, great. We just got done talking to Quasar about, first of all, of course, the Raven situation, but as I understand, you don't really have a whole lot to do with getting Hex and GPL'd. I think he's the one who's really spearheading that. But we also moved on to, first of all, Death, the Death Eternity Engine Editor, which... Quasar is working on it. I don't know if you're taking part in that. And the other thing we were talking about is, of course, what we can expect in the next Eternity Engine release. And, of course, you're a big part of that because you've written the whole Portals thing, which people are really excited about. So, the first thing I want to ask you is, are you working on any of the Death for Eternity Engine stuff, editing, whatever?
Not currently. But once he gets... once Quasar gets a... initial release done, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of modifications going to be necessary for integration of portals. I want to find some way more user-friendly, line devs tag, and something that doesn't restrict the usage of special.
That's very cool. I don't fault you guys for this. It's more of an editing situation, but I know when I've personally attempted to use portals, it's always been a little bit of a confusing situation. And it's kind of cool. It's pretty cool to hear that you are working on a sort of solution to that to make it easier to use. Since we've, of course, touched on portals now, first question I'm going to ask you, and so many people have been asking about this, are linked portals 100% done in Eternity?
No. 100%.
Aw. Damn. But I was hoping to break that story.
Yeah. They're probably, I'd say, 50%. And, of course, every time I open up Eternity with the big test map, I always kind of like new rendering fog or something like that. It's not really right. And so the majority of time now is just kind of tweaking stuff and trying to make sure everything is should once it goes to release. You know, I don't want to see like 1,000 bug
right.
things that I should have tested.
I just lost my train of thought.
Yeah, am I rambling?
No. I'm glad you answered my question. Great. It was just like I had something prepared and I kind of lost it. But I think what I was going to say was, oh yeah, of course. The other major addition that's come to Eternity recently, which I don't think is one of the public releases. I've experienced it using a private SVN build. But I don't think a lot of people have been using that particularly. We're all kind of waiting for the official release. What is the deal with cardboard? I keep asking a lot of questions about what exactly it does, and I see a lot of people asking about it. Maybe now you can sort of clear the air and tell us exactly what it is that cardboard achieves.
Cardboard is a replacement rendering engine that I wrote myself for Doom, which kind of fit into the engine pretty well, because I knew the Doom renderer, how, and I basically took a floating point for rendering instead of a fixed point that originally used, which caused a lot of inaccuracies, the long line bugs and the forms that wobbled and the lights changed. That was all due to fixed point accuracy in the map. And basically took all the ideas the Doom render, and I translate floating point where accuracy is just, greatly over fixed point count. And as a result, everything is better. I mean, basically, all of the old rendering bugs. And unlike certain other, I'm not going to name ports, but there are other ports, barcode rendering engines, other, engines, and, it does, like, Doom people. This one basically feels like Doom solid.
That's good to hear. I mean, I remember, I know I've read about fixing the wobbly line issue when you're really close to a two-sided line, but one of the other things I heard while speaking to Quasar about it is that cardboard also allows for some kind of future extensions or improvements. You probably don't want me to pick on you about this, but I've been picking on Quasar about it. I understand that cardboard allows for 16-bit color to be supported.
Actually, yeah, cardboard was independently in its own standalone application because I didn't really feel like developing it within the engine. Because, the whole Doom engine kind of interfere with the process of writing the render, especially when I'm trying to write from scratch and the as an engine, the menu interface and stuff. So when I was in Sandbox and program writing, I also created, alternate rendering options for 16-bit and 32-bit color. So none of that's security yet. More issues with resource management, textures, sprites that all have to be converted to high color once they're loaded. But that's just a matter of out the nuts and bolts. That's all just implementation. The basic idea, the basic functionality.
I hate to say it, I'm having a little bit of trouble picking up some of the chatter on here. I guess it's my connection having difficulty handling all this, but I think for the most part we got what you were saying, which was that Cardboard does support it, but there are other issues with the engine that do not currently allow for 16-bit color. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Basically.
Okay. Now, I wish we could get... I know that Eternity Team has a third programmer, Joe underscore, over in the UK. Unfortunately, looks like he won't be able to join us tonight. But maybe, Quasar, if you're still on the line and you can still hear me, maybe you can tell me about some of the additions he's made. I know I've seen some of the example WADs that he's made. For example, some things concerning particle spawning, and we had that really cool demo where we saw Gibbs, like, sticking to the player's screen and stuff like that. And then I think one of the other things you mentioned, I'm not sure if I have this correctly, is that he worked on some of the sound updates, too. I don't know if I have that right. Can you tell me a little bit more about what he's done, Quasar?
Well, he hasn't really done anything since the last release. That's not totally fair, but... Oh, sorry.
No, I guess you're just telling it about... I just feel bad for asking that question now. It was never really my intention to embarrass him. I guess I'll skip over that.
He did update our Linux build this.
That's correct. Actually, he did help me with that in particular. It's compiling EE on Linux. I think I've run through all of my specific topics. The last thing that I might want to ask, I understand that SOM, that you are sort of planning on leaving sometime in the future. What I heard was when portals are done, 100% done and bug-free is when you were planning on sort of moving on to a new project. I'm not going to really bug you about why you might be considering leaving, but instead what I want to ask you is if you have any other Doom-related sort of things that you're planning on moving on to.
Not besides Eternity map working on a new huge map, just going to use the portals to what I think are to the conclusion, basic what I had in mind when I started kind of developing systems, just these huge maps with multiple stories, you know, with buildings where you can actually see over them, down into them, down over them, and where kind of takes on a type of like a Halo map or something like that. And that's going to be a long time because basically like making three levels at once, because you have three different layers that are multiple layers that are kind of caked on top of each other.
Right.
Other than that, I think I'm basically just going to kind of move on to other projects. You know, I've been doomed for a long time, and it's kind of just I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
You
know? That's understandable. I hope that we don't completely lose you in the community. And I'm sure we kind of won't. I don't think anyone ever really leaves. With that said, we're going to go to a break. I'm going to let you guys go for now because I need to recover my bandwidth to play some songs. But who knows, maybe I'll have you back before the end of the show to discuss some other things. So why don't I put you guys all on hold for now? Alright, ladies and gentlemen, of course that was Strogon Meth and Quasar, programmers for the Eternity Engine. Let's see if I can sort of... I just hung up on Bill, too. He's going to be mad. We're going to go to music right now. We might have them back before any of the show. Let's see what happens. I was very glad to have them. It's kind of making history here by having them on the show. Bill, okay, good. You're back with us. Sorry for hanging up on you.
You more. Just kidding.
There's no... I didn't see an option for, like, in... Okay, maybe I did see an option and I was too lazy to... Whatever.
Yeah, there's a way to boot them out.
Maybe we'll have them back before the end of the show. Actually, before we go to music, let me ask you. You've been kind of following the whole Raven situation with me and with the rest of us, and we've certainly heard a lot about it, a lot of talk about it in Pound Zedum on irc.oftc.net. Do you think that could really ever... I don't want to be pessimistic, but from your personal opinion, do you think that we could ever, as the community in general, could ever actually get Raven to relicense the Hex and source code as GPL?
There's a chance.
I think there's a chance.
Maybe if we sent them some fake dog testicles, some complaints on them.
Hey, you never. It's true. Sometimes you need to be a little sensationalistic, and I hope somebody out there takes that advice to heart. Let's see. Okay, we're gonna go to some music. We'll come right back. We'll do a little bit more news, and maybe we'll ask some other callers. So stick around, Unidoom Radio. are back. Wow, I just started the next song. Good luck. Good thing I caught that. Let's try and get Bill back on here. Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Great. You're back. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill just did something unprecedented. He just ordered stream hosting for UD Radio, which will support about the same number of people we can support now, but now we can actually, those of us who are transmitting, don't have to deal with, like, a big, giant hogging of bandwidth when we're trying to do the show at the same time. Bill, you are an hero. I don't know what to say.
Hey, now I'm limited to 10 listeners. I ordered 25.
Oh, wow. You're unbelievable. Just unprecedented. I don't even know what to say. So I'm just going to move on. let's see. Last week, I think it was last week that I mentioned that Hollywood has exhausted every old TV show to turn into a movie, and now they've moved on to video games. Today, it looks like I'll be maintaining that statement. Prince of Persia has been picked up by the, I don't have an author here, unfortunately, but it is the same person who is doing the Halo script, so, okay, right there already we can expect Prince of Persia and Halo, but it's not limited to that. We are also getting, I don't even know how many people are familiar with this game, but City of Heroes will be receiving both a film and a TV show. So really, like, games are the new hot topic for media exploitation.
Well, the shows being made into movies. They haven't made a Mama's Man.
Yeah, okay. You know what? You should write about that, because it's a damn shame, it's a crying shame that there's no Mama's Family movie, and they're skipping right over it. And I will rally behind you.
They wouldn't be able to get for it.
Yeah, I think the main character would be probably dead now.
Oh no! Well, in the time span of the show, yes, she was younger than almost all the other actors on there.
Really? It's interesting. A, that she was in fact younger, and B, that you know so much about Mama's Family. I don't know how else to phrase that. But speaking of exploitation, here's another article I want to cover. Reuters is reporting that video game industry is the new source for finding and propelling new upcoming bands into notoriety. This is partially true. I know we all hear a lot of bands that have their songs licensed into games now. According to Celia Hirschman, founder of Downtown Marketing, this is a quote directly from her, video games are a perfect way for customers to discover new music and for bands, especially those of postmodern punk, hip-hop, funk, and heavy metal variety, to reach their typically rabid fan base. Now, I kind of read that, and it doesn't sound like they're so much using video games as a way to promote these bands, or even just to sell bands that are popular already. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but this sounds more like, you know, they realize that CD sales are going nowhere, it will continue to plummet, and this is their new way of pushing popular music. What do you think?
Well, it's Reuters, actually, not Reuters.
Reuters. That's all you had to say, really.
I could care less about music.
You don't. We run a show where we run video game and video game related music, and you don't care about a story about video game music.
Well, this is music. This is not music programmed by the people who created the game, like Nintendo Music. They didn't get composers to work on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that I guess this article indicates, according to, you know, these marketing people who I'm sure have a lot of sway with game producers as far as, like, demographics and hitting target sales goes, is that we're going to be losing even more of that original game scoring. I mean, I'm sure it'll never go away because certain games rely heavily on that, but we'll be losing that and having it replaced with, you know, Linkin Park and more punk and various other things mentioned in routers. I said that right, right?
Who?
Routers. Rotors?
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't even know how to say it. Anyway.
Reuters.
Hemorrhoiders, okay. And I mean, like, with our show, for example, I would not want to play some, like, you know, generic music, you know, some generic band that's heard on the radio all over the place just because they happen to be in a game. So, I mean, I don't want to sound like this affects us directly, but hey, it affects us directly. Let's see. Let's move away from some of that unfortunate news, and we'll move on to something a little bit more funny. Of course, everyone knows StarCraft II was announced just recently, and as soon as it was announced, for the week of May 20th through the 26th, StarCraft, the original StarCraft, made it into number 5 in the top 10 selling games for that week. Just by announcing a sequel, they have massively boosted sales of this 10-year-old game. I don't even know if something similar happened with Doom and Doom 3. I don't imagine.
Doubt it. On the top 10, at least.
It's kind of, I mean, like, I was top 10 for $20, for what amounts to a $20 game, since it's the expansion pack included, is kind of impressive, especially for 10 years old. Who knows, maybe we can sort of do that for Doom somehow. And speaking of sequels, Fear, First Encounter Assault Recon, is getting a sequel, but there's kind of an interesting problem, which is that Vivendi owns the rights to the name Fear, and although I don't have a source as to why, Monolith Software is apparently not currently working very well with Vivendi currently, but they're still going to produce the game, but they just can't use the name. Go ahead.
Who does?
Vivendi owns the rights to the name itself. However, Monolith can still produce the property, or at least a sequel based on the property.
I'm cutting in and out.
It's not your fault. It happens. Apparently, we'll have this solution totally worked out thanks to you, so I'm not going to complain. But continuing on with this story, to solve this problem, what Monolith is doing, and I suggest everyone go hit this up, because certainly somebody can come up with a better name than Fear, which is extremely annoying to type. They have opened nameyourfear.com, where anyone can drop in and suggest, anyone in North America that is, can drop in and they can suggest a name through the website for the upcoming sequel. It's unfortunate. I don't think this is the one that Kaiser, also known as Deathman in the Doom community, I know he's working on the expansion for Fear currently. I wonder if he'll have anything to do with this. I'm not really sure. But definitely head over to nameyourfear.com and come up with something, anything, that is better than, like, a 30-letter acronym, because that is getting ridiculous. Stalker? Come on. What was that? You're cutting out again.
Yeah.
I don't blame you for being exhausted. I guess it's worth mentioning. It's not a huge story, but for people who like to play Blockland and Return to Blockland, which is one of those sandbox, not quite an MMO, but a multiplayer game, which is not based on any kind of competition, but just sort of a building experience, the LEGO company is going to be allowing to be produced an MMO in its own name. It's not being called an MMORPG right now, so I don't know, there's no indication of what the game mechanics themselves might actually be. But there are mentions of character advancement, of people being able to customize their avatars, of course. It's not even worth saying that MMOs are such a craze right now, but when LEGO gets into it, and I'm sure they'll do so well too, because it is a hot property. And then finally in releases, and this one is kind of cool, we have a new upcoming first-person shooter by Gearbox Software. Gearbox worked on which Half-Life stuff did they work on, Bill?
It was one of the expansion packs. I don't know which one.
Was it? I believe it was not the one that sucked. Not Blue Shift.
Opposing Force.
Opposing Force. I believe that's the one they worked on. Gearbox will be current. Well, not will be. Is currently working on a game based on the movie Aliens. We're going to get another Aliens game. According to the sparse details on the game right now, it'll be a first-person shooter. Players will take on the role of some random colonial marine. I really hate that word. Colonial marine. As a soldier that accompanies Sigourney Weaver in the movie. I don't know if that means that we will actually accompany Sigourney Weaver in the game. I'm sure they can't even use her name like that. But it's kind of cool that that property is getting developed again. We haven't really... I don't think anything has been done with it since Alien vs. Predator, which did not do very well because it was a pretty poor movie. Maybe this will kind of revitalize a franchise, although I certainly don't hope for another movie. I don't know, Bill, have you heard anything? I heard something somewhere that there is an Alien 5, or what are they up to, 6 now? I don't know if you... Do you have any info on that?
Oh.
I just thought you might. I don't know. Alien seems to be really, really popular in the Doom community, for obvious reasons, I think, anyway.
Because Doom was going to be Alien?
Essentially, well, yeah, that's why. Well, I mean, they have sort of a similarity to them, too, and of course, the It guys, or at least John Romero, was apparently a fan of the movie, so it's not surprising that there was some influence. I really wish, let's see, Obsidian Entertainment, there's almost no information on this, though, and this is to follow up what I just mentioned. Obsidian Entertainment is working on another Aliens-related game, and a role-playing game. There's, unfortunately, no information on it outside of the fact that it is an RPG. I can't even imagine how that's going to work out. But we got some new Aliens games to look forward to. That's pretty cool. We're approaching the end of the show, so we're going to run my theme music and then end with one last song. But before I go, I want to seriously thank James Quasar Haley and Steve S.O.M. McGranahan for coming on the show. It was really fun having you guys on. And, like, it was just really cool to, like, have these sort of iconic... Because they are these iconic people in the Doom community. Kind of like us. We're celebrities. I don't know if you're aware of this, Bill, but, you know, people look up to us. Children want to grow up and have their own show on UD Radio. We have to set an example.
If we have kids as listeners, someone better tell their parents.
Definitely. God, imagine Jack Thompson flipping out on UD Radio. That would actually be really cool. We'll talk about that another time. Of course, I want to thank Bill, my co-host. I'm still speechless that you went ahead with purchasing stream hosting. According to Bill, it should be set up in about 24 to 48 hours. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And hopefully. Okay, hopefully. But, you know, even that's just awesome. We'll have an actual 24/7 radio station running again, which we did originally, but don't anymore currently. And we'll be able to broadcast things without a lot of the cutting in and out that our listeners experience due to the bandwidth situation. So thank you so much for that. Ralph's going to be impressed, except that I think he's dead. So I can't really say that we're going to have a Ralph show anytime soon. But... with that
you know
said,
what would be nice?
What's that?
If some Unidoom members would help me pay for it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't expect anything less. I'll definitely pitch in. I kind of have to since I freaking run the show. So, and I'll see. I think there's some other members. I think now that if we have this service and if hosting becomes simplified, I'm hoping that we'll attract more people to having shows since they won't require the same sort of setup and complication that we experience running our show. So hopefully that'll attract more people and which will reduce your bill. But I'll definitely mention it to the UD guys.
Sort of. I mean, if I have to get more listeners, there's a bigger charge per month.
Oh, of course. But, you know, if we have more listeners, then we probably have the UD support necessary to cover the extra cost. I'm sure, like, the cost for, I'm going to throw out a number here, 50 listeners, for example, split amongst, I'm going to say, I think if we ever hit 50 listeners, we've probably got at least 3 to 4 people pitching in, if not much more. So I don't think the cost will ever be too prohibitive. But I'll definitely...
The service charge is 60 cents a listener at this bit rate.
Well, so far this bit rate has worked out pretty well for us. I would rather increase listeners if it came to it than increasing bit rate. I think so far it's worked out fine. People understand us. The music comes out all right. The Og stream, which you suggested, worked out great. I can't believe we started with MP3 for that little while. But yeah, so definitely big things happening, big things. So I want to thank you, Bill. I want to thank Quasar and SOM. We're going to head out with my theme music. Bill, do you have anything you'd like to add before we go?
I hope Beauty Radio doesn't peter out like Doom Radio did.
Well, I mean, we've been running it like this with all this complication this time. I think it can only get better.
I hope so.
I hope so. So with that, we'll leave you tonight. This was Jason and Bill.
Bye-bye.
On UDDoom Radio. Good night.